and welcome to the High Ground podcast. My name is Clee Stacey and I am a life coach.
My name is Anthony Turi. I am a therapist, and for six episodes we're going to be chewing over what coaching is, what therapy is, and our different takes on spirituality and personal development.
Hello, our lovely, lovely listeners. We are excited this week because we're talking about something that we both do a lot in our personal lives, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Helped us a lot. And that is the power of positive intention. And I think I want to jump straight in and say that is not just positive thinking.
Oh, Lord, no.
And this is something that we both have been quite frustrated with when we talk to other people about it, because it's not just saying, no, life is amazing. Like, life is, don't get me wrong, my perception is life is pretty fucking good. But it's not just about life is good. Like, it's not surface level.
It's not just these empty, vacuous phrases. I think it's to do with two bits for me. One is your perception of the world, and one is your expectation of the world, which influences what you get. And a phrase we use when we've been chatting is, which I love, is, you know, seeing the universe as one big Xerox machine, yeah, which just reproduces your thoughts and expectations of it.
Yeah.
I come in here and I'm always thinking of the skeptics who are listening. So I start with the quantum physics and I'm saying, you know, there's evidence that our perception influences particles at the very smallest level of observable matter. Right? So how we perceive the world actually impacts the world.
Yes.
So I think in relation to us personally, we'll talk about clients, I guess. It's about getting a different perception going, getting a different expectation going, and therefore creating a different relationship with how you expect things in the world to pan out.
Yeah.
Because there isn't a difference really between what's inside me and what's out there. And the new physics is teaching us that.
And to go a little bit law of assumption-y.
I like this, yeah. Law of assumption. This is something you've hit on recently.
I love it. I can't stop.
You should write a book.
Okay. Done. Thanks, universe. Everything is you pushed out. And it takes it one step. If you're listening to this and you're just dipping into personal development, if I was listening to this a few years ago, I'd have been going freaked out. Like, this is a bit more than I am comfortable
with. Who are these guys?
However, the phrase that I really love is everyone and everything is you pushed out. So what's happening in your internal world is creating the outside world. The cool thing about personal development is that it does say that. It does say that. It says, you know, you work on your inside and then your outside will get better. It doesn't really tell you how. It just says, you know, probably because you're going to be calmer, or you're going to take things less personally, and like things that psychology will be able to prove and look at. And, you know, when you're just in your head, which I think we both have been, when you're just in your head, you want lots of proof and you want to see it physically. And the beautiful thing about positive intention is that it's not about what's happening on the outside ever. It's always about, I'm just going to choose how I see the outside world, which will it create it to be that way.
That's beautifully put. I'm enjoying the way we're finding overlap in our worldviews as a coach and a therapist as part of my ongoing project to soften your skepticism of therapy. And also, I would say for those listeners who are you 5 years ago feeling skeptical, I mean, these are not really radical ideas in terms of, you know, what's out there. I mean, a number of very influential writers, Louise Hay,
yeah,
Wayne Dyer, Neil Donald Walsh, in the Conversations with God series. I mean, the basic idea there is thought creates reality. Okay. Yeah. It's not a case of reality's out there and it comes into us. It's, you know, how we perceive the world creates our experience.
And it's not us being narcissistic here. And it's not us being selfish, which society likes to make us think. That's what we're told, is that you're being selfish, you're being narcissistic, you're being full of yourself. I love and hate how people talk about, oh my God, you're so full of yourself. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Like, what else do you want me to be full of? And when I am sort of more into this, I'm like, it's not about me as the ego, as the self, that is everything pushed out. What I'm really saying is, I am God. It's not God as in I am better than everyone. Everybody is God. Everybody is consciousness. Everybody is together. Everyone is one. And therefore, when I connect to my and believe in my ability, it's not even my ability, because it's not, some people have the ability and some people don't. It's just whether you believe it to be true. When I recognize my connection, not even, again, connection is almost the wrong word. It's like when I recognize my God self, when I recognize my consciousness and connection to everything, then I'm not better than anything. I'm not worse than anything. In fact, I am everything. And that's why it's easy. It gets easier to manifest. It gets easier to be calm. It gets easier to see what the world is a beautiful thing.
Where did you come into this in terms of the idea of, you know, using affirmations? Because for me, it was really via Louise Hay and You Can Heal Your Life.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so for me, it was, you know, she spoke very beautifully about how, you know, using affirmations for health, for wealth, for success, could bring about quite startling changes in people's lives. Yeah. And I will let you answer my question about where you came into it, but yeah, go on, and then I'll say and make another point about Louise.
I don't think Louise, but I think she definitely helps. I've had a few coaches in my time, and they all talk about it to different levels. I have heard people say you shouldn't use affirmations because, you know, if your brain, if it's something too far against what you actually believe, your brain will go, no, that's not true because of X, and then you deepen your current belief. So for a long time, I was like, affirmations don't work. And then I realized that we are all allowing ourselves to be affirmed, things to be affirmed through watching TV, listening to the radio, listening to podcasts, friends we hang out with, the books we read. You know, I remember watching, binge watching, not Breaking Bad, Prison Break, which I love, totally connected to it. I felt like crap at the end. I felt genuinely awful. Because there's so much, I'm not good enough. There was so much, life is tough, life is hard, everything's difficult. Drama, 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 drama. And so I realized everything, like, we are affirming things to ourselves all the time, every single day. And so to not choose the affirmations that I have in my world is to allow other people to dictate the affirmations I have in my world.
Very rich points you just made there. There's three bits. One is, you know, in terms of the skepticism of using affirmations, the thing that really struck me when encountering Louise Hay is watching videos of her talking, you know, in seminars. And if you look at them, you see this glowing picture of health, radiance, vitality, you know, and a woman at a very advanced age,
yeah,
you know, and I was looking at her and thinking, wow, there's something to this woman, you know, she's onto something when she talks about affirmations. The point about the brain you made in terms of, well, you know, people are skeptical, can your brain go that far if you're not in that place? If your brain, you know, there have been scientific studies that have shown that using affirmations have been shown to rewire the brain.
Yeah.
and people who consistently use affirmations, different parts of the brain start lighting up.
Yeah.
So they're actually creating new neural pathways for themselves. And the third point, and I think that's the really good point you make in terms of, well, what else are you consuming?
Yeah.
You know, what are you taking in? And in one of those videos, one of the participants asks Louise, hey, and they say, you know, I'm doing these affirmations and they're not really working.
Mm.
And Louise talks about, well, you know, what are you doing the rest of the time? You know, if you're just getting up and saying these twice a day, but the rest of the time you're kind of, you know, exposing yourself to like negative content and media, then, you know, that is also what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
So I think it's about what you're offering more generally, more deeply than just, even than just the affirmations that are being said.
Totally. And it's the thing about the effort, there's two things about affirmations, is that yes, when you just say the words consistently, you'll start to believe them, but it's also about, and we're talking about intention, it's about the intention behind them. Like even the intention of, I don't believe this right now, but I want to believe this. That's powerful. Like the intention to want to believe it. And having a feeling behind it and noticing the feeling behind it. You know, you look at a lot of the law of attraction stuff, they talk a lot about a feeling. And when we talk about intention, when we talk about feeling or vibration or frequency, really it's all kind of the same, because what you're aiming for is the feeling, is the vibration. It will bring it the reality of what you're thinking about. And you know, things like I am enough or I am loved. The I am enough, no one gets to dictate that. Like there is, you know, having something in your outside world seems different to that belief, like because, you know, I can physically see whether I have an extra £1,000 in my account or not. But can I physically see the proof of I am enoughness? And so it's a affirming though the difference in those is actually not real, because everything is perception. But it's really interesting when you affirm the I am enough, I am enough, I am loved, I am loved. You do it enough, it becomes true, and you get conflicts like, why has today gone really well? Why are people just like appearing and saying lovely things? And you don't even know why. That's the incredible thing. It is magic. It is freaking like miracle magic. You just say things over and over for a while and they become true. And you're like, what happened? Oh, I was talking to myself. And the other point I wanted to make was, and you said like, yeah, if you're affirming something twice in the morning, or even if it's twice in the morning, twice in the evening, when you're like, well, that's going to work then. Like you say, if the rest of your day, you're unconsciously seeing someone and they walk away from you and you're like, well, obviously they don't want to be near me, or I probably smell, or like someone, like so many different, or some, here's a good one. So many people talk about like to practice manifesting, just affirm or intend that you'll get a free coffee. So if you are a negative, pessimistic person, you might go,
would you like some? Yeah, okay.
Ding, ding. But if you're a negative person, you might say, well, what do they think? I look homeless? Do they think I look poor? Right? So it depends what you're affirming to yourself, to what you believe comes true and how it feels when it comes true. And if you believe that good will bring certain things to you, it will. So.
And what you're really picking up on, which I really enjoy in my conversations with you, is, you know, the underlying feeling place a person is coming from when they're offering their affirmations. And you know, the idea, and this aligns with the new physics for the skeptics out there, you know, everything is essentially vibration. Everything in the universe is vibration. And we're picking up the, you know, we are projecting a vibration out there. So it's the quality of the vibration we're offering, the feeling place we're in, you know. So if we're saying, I'm gonna get rich, you can hear in my voice that I don't really believe it. It's the quality of the underlying feeling state I'm in.
The feeling, again, the expectation or the assumption, because there's a lot of people who do get money and do get rich, but you'll notice that the way they get it is difficult. The way they get it is through hustle. The way they get it is through hard work, not working hard, doing something they love, but hard work that they don't enjoy. That feel like they have to put people down. Like the people, there are people who make money through being assholes because they believe that's the only way to do it.
Pure expectation of the world. Yeah.
That comes from inside. That comes from our expectation and assumption.
I think there's also a subtlety about this process in terms of the idea that you can't get there from here. Like if you're not earning very much money and you suddenly go around saying I'm going to be a billionaire, that jump is almost too big and it doesn't feel believable to you. But if you can get into a place where you start to feel what you're thinking is possible, what you're affirming is possible, then I think you can ease yourself into a place where you can open up new expectations. I mean, one of the conversations I enjoyed with you when we were talking about making this podcast was how you work with clients and, you know, you do the affirmation before the affirmation. So rather than I believe that I can be successful, or I believe I can have a relationship, or no, I will have a relationship, you do the I think it's possible.
Yeah.
To have a relationship. I think it's possible to start believing differently, you know. So and that brings me into, you know, how these ideas impact our work and how we use it in our different lines of work. Because it's always a subtle one, isn't it, in what we do, because we're talking about, you know, we always have to start with what people are bringing to us and what they're observing around them. But also with affirmations, you're talking about, well, moving beyond what is seen. Now, in Gestalt, we start with, what is observed and what is known. But we also have this wonderful thing called the experiment, where we play with new possibilities. We play with newness. We play with different ways of being, different ways of thinking about what can be possible. So we do thought experiments or, you know, little behavioral dialogues where we play with seeing, or clients play with seeing themselves in different versions of themselves. Yeah. And it's just that kind of stepping out of what is current into a slightly different way of being, which I think is a bit of overlap with what you do.
Totally. I am, especially at the moment, really trying to bring more play into my work, bring more... more curiosity, more, like you said, experimentation, exploration. Like there is no reality. There's just the one that you want. There's just the one that you pick. And so we get to play with which reality feels good, doesn't feel good. And it's important to know which ones don't feel good, as well as, you know, you can't just step straight into, I know I want to go to the ones that feel good. Well, how do you know? Stepping into different realities and affirming different things, there you will get a sense of, oh no, I don't. I want, you know, if I said, oh, I really want to live in a mansion, I don't. That's a lot of cleaning. You know, that's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of places I won't go in that place. Like instinct, I don't even. I can logic.
Doesn't that. Resonate.
I can and hit. That's really perfect. I can logic my way through. Why not? I just don't want, like, the feeling is I just don't want to.
I guess it's about, it's not just the words that one offers about what one wants in one's life, but it's about the underlying beliefs or the underlying expectations. And what we do in Gestalt therapy, which I think we do quite elegantly, is we work to uncover kind of crusty old beliefs that we all, you know, find can be lodged inside us, and these old core beliefs which can hamper our experience of the world. Pretty much everybody arrives in adulthood with some of them, you know. So, and I think the bit about these innate core beliefs that we can carry is I think where people get sometimes stuck with affirmations, because if they're offering the words but they haven't done the housekeeping on cleaning up those core beliefs, then not much will shift. But in Gestalt, we work slowly to just kind of just, you know, peel away what those core beliefs are. And I mean, you know, there's basically just a few basic ones which pretty much everyone has, right? You know, I'm not enough. People can't be there for me. I need to do more. I'm alone, you know. And once we start to uncover them, we can start to see if there's the possibility of just shifting them a little bit, or just kind of introducing a bit of flexibility into the system, rather than telling people not to believe that, because that doesn't really work.
No. they would choose not to, so it's not as simple as just don't do it.
Yeah. But sometimes, and this is what in Gestalt, people carry these beliefs out of awareness. So it's about raising awareness of what they actually believe about the world. And then once you start to uncover those, then that clears a space for new beliefs and new affirmations.
Yes, and you start being aware of where in your life, when you are living your life with the awareness of that belief existing, you then start realizing, oh, look what I'm doing or I'm not doing. And suddenly I understand it's because of this. And once you can realize that the belief is just a belief, however big and real and totally like it
sedimented,
it doesn't feel like a belief. Like
it feels true.
Exactly. And those are the ones that are the tougher ones, if you want to put it that way, to shake. Because if someone said to me, gravity doesn't exist, I'd be like, no, it does. You're gonna have to do a shit ton to prove to me it doesn't, because it does. That's how everything, like, it does. Plants are green. Yes, they are. Plants are green. Plants have been green forever. The sky is blue. If you want to prove me otherwise, there is some serious shit you're going to have to prove to me, right? So it's the same thing. Like, but it's just a belief. It is just a belief. Just a meaning we apply to things. And so once we can start, and that's the play part of it and the experimentation. Like, okay, well, what would happen? What might it feel like if that wasn't quite true? What would life look like? What would be available to you? Lots of different moving parts.
Yeah, and that's something I've really appreciated in my professional dialogues with you, and it's something I'll probably seek to incorporate more into my own practice. Whereas, I mean, I think in therapy, I'm offering this. Therapy, we're good at a bit stronger on uncovering the old stuff to clear a pathway. And I think in coaching, you guys are a bit stronger on teeing up the new ideas.
Yeah.
So we kind of, we do the housekeeping with clients and then we set them up for you guys. But one thing I've really enjoyed is that what you do with clients is you will say, okay, here are your current beliefs. And now start generating an equivalent set of believable new possible beliefs, you know, and it's just that pushing it, leaning into a new way of seeing the world, which I think is where, you know, something that therapy can learn from you guys. So that's something I'm going to seek to do more. And just that, okay, we know what the old beliefs are. What are the new beliefs you can create? And from there, if they're close enough, so it doesn't feel like a jump across a river, but it's like you're building a bridge. If they're close enough, then people can start to, providing they've shed the old beliefs, they start to get into a new way of seeing the world, a new way of feeling about the world. And that creates, you know, that's where the affirmations and the vibration you're offering comes in, and what you're expecting to happen in your life. And That's something I think you're really strong on in your practice.
Thank you. I feel so too. And it really is important to me that things feel differently. I don't know how to stress this more. Because if I think back to different times in my life where I was depressed, or I was with someone and I wasn't happy with them, or I was in a job that I hated, or I felt poor, they were all feeling states. They were all states. So when I reflect on them, but maybe because I'm a woman, maybe, I don't know, but I reflect on, I look back and I see I felt this way. Not that I had this job, like I could have had that job and felt great, but I had that job and I felt shit. That's why I didn't want it, because I felt shit. But we all think that we change the outside, then it gets better, and wonder why we changed jobs 5 times and I still don't feel better. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with you, but you are right. You are the thing that needs to change. It's not that there's anything wrong. It's just, and that's, I'm just kind of working through this as I speak. When people say, oh, there must be something wrong with me. And people go, no, there's nothing wrong with you. And that makes them think, oh, if there's nothing wrong with me, I just need to keep trying what I'm doing. But that's also not the reality for a lot of people, because it's like, okay, there's nothing wrong with you, but what you're doing is getting you something that you don't want. So you do need to change something. You don't need to change who you are, or maybe you do, because I think we change who we are as we grow, not just what we are. We change who we are. And who I feel, how I feel day to day, is a million miles away from the girl 5 years ago. A million miles. I couldn't catch my thoughts so effortlessly. I just couldn't do that. But it's taken practice and time, affirmations, and there's affirmations in like, okay, I'm going to write down the things I want morning and night, or how I want to feel morning and night, and I'm going to feel into it. But there's also sort of those external affirmations that we allow into our world. What podcast, and I say it again, because it's for me a huge deal. What podcast do you listen to? What are you reading? What are you watching on YouTube? What are you watching on Netflix? Like, I'm really careful, because that shit goes in. You don't just go, okay, I'm going to let my brain listen to the affirmations that I choose for it to listen to, but everything else, it doesn't listen to. All the adverts on TV, all the adverts on Instagram and Facebook, like, my brain doesn't take those in. No, it fucking does. The difference in those, and anyone who's listening, take a stock of what you're listening to and what you're reading and the people you're listening to, your family, your friends, like, what is coming, what are you allowing into your psyche? Do you want to hear it?
Now, can I just say to everyone listening to this, take stock of what you're listening to. Well done for listening to this, because this is obviously doing you a world of good.
I mean, it is, seriously. I mean, I know that the majority of the words that come out of my mouth are empowering. It's why people like talking to me. It's why people like listening to me. It's not just the fact that I am a coach and I help people find what they want. I don't really give advice. It's because I believe in the good. I believe in good stuff. I'm happy to feel sad, which is a strange, if you understand what I mean. Like, I'm happy to feel the fullness of human emotion, but I really aim for positive intention, positive affirmation, perceiving the world in a way that feels good. Why not?
And there's a bit of overlap, or at least resonance with, you know, the underlying worldview of people that we have in Gestalt therapy, that we see people as, and the life journey is basically a journey towards wholeness. We see people as having innate organismic wisdom. So we see people as, there's an optimistic view inherently there of the life journey being a good one, being towards integration, being towards growth. And I mean, I think these tools, affirmations and positive expectations of the world, are ones which definitely can help people on that path. Is it worth talking just a bit more generally about beyond just affirmations, but just the power of intention.
Yes.
And the intention that one offers into the world. I mean, we've spoken about this a bit before, but I know when I'm in a place where I've made room internally, psychologically, even spiritually, before I work with my clients, where I've cleared a space internally, where I've set up a positive intention for that session, I know that different things happen. And at the start of my day, I seek to, you know, tee up my days with positive intentions. And the real piece for me is those intentions are not just cognitive. They're not just words. They come from a place of feeling, you know, which I think Gestalt therapy is strong on. We don't just work with thoughts. We work with people as holistically, their whole bodies. I mean, I would say the power of intention is also for me, it's a spiritual practice. It's getting in touch with that myself on a soul level and offering an intention for my day, for what comes next.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's important to note that intentions you can use the power of intention if you are spiritual, if you are religious, if you are atheist, if you are agnostic.
It's really good.
Got nothing to do with that, because whether you believe it's about the universe aligning for you, or whether you believe that you are putting ideas into your brain and therefore it's going to bring that about and look for it, like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter why, just the fact that it works is good enough for me, at least. I really love using intention at the beginning of my day and at the end of my day. And very often with my clients, we'll have moments at the beginning to, like you said, clear the space, clear the energy, clear our minds. And just make an intention. And most of the time, my intentions, if I think about it, they're often my core values as well. Connection for me is really important. Connection, honesty, and truth. I always forget my third value. How ridiculous is that? Like, is it that?
Third value, this space open for the highest bidder. Yeah.
If you have one, you'd like to insert here.
See your value here.
I don't know, it's fun. It's play. Like, that's
fun, yes.
I can't not. Yeah. Like, I want fun, play. I also want connection and love. And I want truth and honesty. Like, those are always the things. And that works really well in coaching and in therapy, because there's, you know, you have to have a connection with the person in front of you. There has to be internal honesty and also a sense of play and curiosity and delving and lightness about the depth as well. So intention, just, and what I love about it is that you can just do it with words, simple words, because words have, the right words will have us like connect really fast to a feeling. Love to me is too big a word. It doesn't really often connect. But when I talk, when I say intimacy, or when I say connection, or
flow
and ease,
flow between people.
Yeah.
I love the fact that even though we're both spiritual, you made the very clear point about this stuff can, you know, work with whatever your worldview is.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the words we use, how we see the world is important. And if I could just try and link those two ideas together. One of my favorite writers, Steve Haynes, he writes brilliantly on lovely introductory books on trauma and pain and anxiety. And he talks about how, you know, we're meaning-making entities. You know, that's what humans are. And a lot of research has been showing that, you know, our perception influences even our immune system. So if you're getting into it, our perception impacts how our expectation of better health, which can in turn have a positive feedback loop. and lead towards better feeling. So, you know, and he's talking purely in terms of just the thoughts we offer in that respect. So I totally resonate with you. It doesn't really matter what your worldview is. These are things that can be used for anyone.
Yeah. It's so powerful. It's the same thing as, you know, long sentence affirmation or, it just gets me, it gets you in the feeling. And I wonder if this, if I had thought about this a few years ago, whether it would have worked, and it might not have done because I actually wasn't as connected to myself and what I was feeling and what I didn't know what I wanted to feel. That stuff wasn't as available to me. So sometimes affirmation is hard because there's so much other stuff in the way. There's so much feeling. And like you were saying earlier, like we have to get rid of the crap, clean up the crap before.
Crush the old stuff. Yeah.
So if that's why affirmations or intention is like, oh, it's not working for me. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. You're not bad. It doesn't not work for you. It works for brains. It works for everyone. That's just how it works. That's what marketing, that's what sales, that's what advertising. That's how it all works. It's words. It is working on you. It's just, you've got some crusty old beliefs, and you know, both therapy and coaching does help that. And go and seek it out. Even if you don't want to go and do affirmations and intention, it doesn't matter. I would always suggest going to see a coach or a therapist if you feel like these just aren't working for you. And this is definitely a side note, but if you're listening to this, you're probably interested in coaching and therapy and personal development. So if there's something that you need to go and talk to someone about, do it. And I thought, just as we'll go for another couple of minutes, but I thought it might be useful just to get a little bit quiet here and just ask you, our lovely listeners, if you'd like to make an intention now, whether you're listening to this in the morning or the afternoon or in lunch break or in the evening.
That's lovely.
Wherever you are, we'll just take a minute together. I'll go quiet, we'll go quiet, and just take a couple of nice deep breaths. And just set an intention. So that might be, if you haven't done this before, it might be, I'd like my day to feel joyful.
Yeah. I'd like it to feel. Yeah.
I'd like to laugh more. I'd like to
play more.
Play. That was what I was thinking.
I'd like to feel good.
I'd like
to feel as good as possible. I'd like lightness.
Exactly. So if we just take even just 30 seconds.
Okay.
Closing our eyes.
I'll count the 30 seconds. I'll tell us when it's passed. Let's get into that place. And that time starts now.
Taking two deep breaths and then making some intentions.
And that's time.
Nice. And
I really, really appreciated that, Clee. I love that. We speak about how words are important, but equally, you brought us back there to the fact that silence and just creating space is just so valuable. So I really appreciate that.
And to anyone listening, just 30 seconds of silence. I'd encourage you to, right now, after listening to this, go and take a minimum 10 minutes in silence. You do not have to feel good. You do not have to feel bad. You do not have to have any realizations. You do not have to go om and sit with your legs crossed, with your arms out. You don't
got to do nothing.
All it is just assisting and allowing yourself and your mind, don't stop the thoughts. Don't even try. It's not going to work. So just be there with it. So that's my invitation to you. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with us. It's been a journey, as always.
And I always notice how at the end of our chats, I always feel in a different feeling place to when I started. And I think that's testament to the value of a dialogue like this. So thank you.
Feeling that shift as well, we'd love to know. Direct our contact details are in the details wherever you're listening. So wherever you are, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know if you enjoyed it and get in touch. Can't wait to talk to you next week all about the brain. Well, not just any brain, your brain, and the new brain science, which can be used to support your continual growth. So that's where we're heading to next week. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.